Forever Dog.
Well, when the good Lord made his mind up, he said, this mic needs more men. Four men. Horsemen. And that was it. Here come the horsemen, four horsemen. Oh yeah, here comes the horsemen. Oh yeah, four horsemen. Talking about things you want to know about. And thinking about things you want to think about. Ain't nothing gonna stop them now, they're the four horsemen.
Wow, the chimes at the end.
Powerful.
Powerful chimes, guys.
I didn't even hear that. But
you didn't hear that the last time?
No, I didn't catch the chimes. And also, is that you playing harmonica?
Yes, it's me playing harmonica.
Wow. No, what is it? It's you playing
it's
what?
It's a loop. It's a loop.
Of what?
Of a harmonica. It's a sample.
Well, you found the right key. That couldn't have been easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I found the right key of everything. That's not me playing the chimes either. Or the mandolin. I'm playing guitar and the drums.
Really? I was going to ask about the perfect shuffle. Honestly, perfect shuffle. Nice flam. Nice flam.
All made right here on a keyboard.
Amazing. That's the kind of dedication that one would only expect from one of the four horsemen.
You know, Tom, I've been called the John Bonham of the keyboard.
People have called you the John Bonham of the four horsemen.
Uh-oh. Okay, now we like have to designate goes. The rest of the Zeppelin here.
I don't like where this goes. I already regret saying that out loud.
Yeah.
If Jason is John Bonham,
right?
Who's everybody else?
I'll take the low-key...
John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones. Yeah.
Mike, okay. I don't know if you're John Paul Jones. I think you're Robert Plant.
No, I can't be Robert Plant. No way.
I think you're Robert Plant.
I don't have the package.
Well, you mean the packages that he would deliver?
Yeah, of course he worked.
Yes.
He worked for Amazon.
You're right. Right.
Drove
right.
around the Midlands. About...
What was he delivering? A whole lot of love.
Delivering go. That, and he's then when they started doing produce, then he had the lemons he would bring to your house. Tangerine. He'd bring a tangerine by.
Squeeze that lemon.
Yeah. I'd like to complain about the delivery was damaged. It looks like this package was trampled underfoot.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
See, I think I would be Jason Bonham.
You'd be Jason Bonham.
Wow.
Yeah. He'd be Jason.
Double drums.
Okay.
I would be the bald guy from The Firm. Jimmy Page's follow-up band.
Tom, you should be the object.
Mm-hmm. I could be the object. Thank you.
Who was Presence. The was the bald guy Chris Slade? Was Chris Slade in? I gotta look
Jason, all I'm gonna say.
I'm starting to think this is let's see.
Jason, if I called him the bald guy from The Firm, I don't know what his name is. I literally just said the bald guy from The Firm. I don't know what his name
is. No, it's Chris Slade. It's Chris Slade. He's also the bald guy from AC/DC.
He is the bald guy from AC/DC who replaced
Phil Rudd
for a while.
Who did come and back. Again, yes.
Who on Rubenesque, the last episode, I think I referred to as the bald guy from AC/DC.
Right.
Who I saw at MetLife.
Not to be confused with the bald guy from Midnight Oil, which I used to do all the time as a child, thinking that,
Garrett.
he's playing drums for AC/DC now.
That bald guy from AC/DC, though, can't match his excitement when he's playing. I've never seen him not open mouth smiling or open mouth just expressing himself while playing. Yeah, it's a look.
He likes it. He likes going for it. He really likes selling those complex polyrhythms of AC/DC that really take all his attention. It's really kind of like he's cut from the same cloth. Mike will appreciate that as a Mickey Hart or a Bill Kreutzmann.
There you go.
Just world rhythms and exploring different different drumming patterns.
I get a lot of Mickey Hart TikToks for some reason.
Mickey Hart is on TikTok?
Well, no, it's just video from the Dead and Company shows, and it's like him jamming. Who's on bass?
Oh, come on. Phil.
Phil's not in it's like, the Dead and Company.
I thought you were talking about the Grateful Dead. Like that.
Who's the bassist in Dead and Company? It's like Otel.
Yeah, something like
that. Shackle or something.
Yeah.
So people are posting Dead and Company TikToks.
Oh, man, there are so many Dead and Company TikToks, at least for me. And it's all just, well, I did see one of backstage at MetLife last night where a security guard is just standing still, staring at a lot of people doing like the swirly dance and the forming the ball. And
I think they were at Citi Field. I don't think it was MetLife.
That's what it was. Yeah. Citi Field. Yep.
No,
you didn't go because you hate them.
No, I mean, I had the one experience. Somebody gave me a free ticket and I went and I was prepared to be thoroughly disappointed. And I thought it was OK. You know, I'd never go see it again, never pay to see it. But going in with low expectations, it was an OK experience. So that's what I'll say about it. But yeah, my feeds are, yeah, I follow some of these things. And yeah, this stuff is through the roof lately. And I get a lot of Bob Weir exercise. Do you get those videos?
No. What did he have? Did Bobby Weir have an exercise?
Well, he posts a lot of videos of himself exercising. And there's a lot of stuff where he's basically doing squats and lunges and stretchy bands and stuff like that. It's not a wide variety, but he keeps posting them, you know?
Have you done his workout? Do you like it?
I haven't done the workout yet, no.
And you need to do the work. His workout gear would be jean cutoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's got hemp necklace. He seems to wear the same outfit in every video. I don't know if he's got more than one set of workout clothes, but it seems like he's got the same sort of a dark tank top and long dark shorts.
Yeah. Is he wearing Crocs? Is he a Crocs guy or is he
is a Croc? Even if he's not ever worn a Croc in his life, he is a Crocs guy.
He's like man.
He's waiting. If he hasn't, it's imminent.
Yeah.
No, I mostly get the Bob Weir exercise videos. And now, are you guys watching the Andrew Dice Clay Man on the Street videos?
Oh, yeah. I heard you were looking for the guy with the famous face. Yeah, you want to get a picture with the famous face.
Are these new videos or are they old?
These are brand new. He does a thing. I don't know if we talked about it anywhere before.
Yeah.
It is truly funny. He goes up to people on the street and acts. It's like strangely humiliating in a way.
Because not too many people recognize him. No.
Not too exact. He'll go up to a stranger on the street. He'll be like, I heard you were looking for me. And they're like, huh? They're like, you wanted to get a picture. They said you wanted a picture with, you know, the famous face, the guy with the famous face. Yeah. And they're just like, I don't know who you are. Like, it's me, the guy with the famous face, the picture. You wanted a picture. And every once in a while, it's like, Dice, I love you. But usually it's just this old guy coming up to people, rambling about a picture.
You wanted a picture.
I posted one because he's talking about pickleball now. He's going up to asking people about pickleball and the killer snails in Florida. You know, he's asking about the snails in Florida and nobody knows what the hell he's talking about.
It's so funny to watch him. He's weird is the thing with him. He's not like, he always had a weird streak in him.
Yeah.
Even when he was just the filthy guy. But it's like the filthy stuff kind of isn't the thing anymore. It's just weird.
I love it.
You wanted a picture. The guy, you know, the face, the famous face.
Is it in New York? Is he in Los Angeles?
Wherever he is.
So if he's on vacation in like Daytona Beach, he's walking around.
He would
Daytona
be doing
Beach.
The same thing. It's him on the streets of New York. It's him in a lot of drug stores and grocery stores. Also,
now it's Central Park. He's over in the park now.
Yeah,
and he's wearing these shorts, which. I mean, they can hardly be called shorts. They go past his knee. They're like the most ridiculous pair of pants I've ever seen. And he's walking around, yeah, just bothering people sitting on the benches.
And he wears these enormous Tom Ford glasses now, yeah. Which are like the size of like a car windshield.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the shields when people wore them during the pandemic.
Yes.
He is a tinted one of those, and they are glasses now.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
Oh, God, I got to start watching
these. It's pretty great. Well, this is the Four Horsemen, the best show, Four Horsemen. It's me, it's Pat, it's Mike, it's Jason, and we are all here to do a little burst of an episode, a mini best show just for you, the Patreon subscriber, and we appreciate you supporting the show over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And
we have three.
We put a topic on the table where we were telling people they could call up and get a pep talk from the Four Horsemen. And
are we gonna do it coach style? Like, you get to get back out on the field.
Is anybody interested in this?
We have calls. We've got calls.
Let's do it. Let's just jump right in. Yeah.
All right. There we go. First call is on.
Hello, Best Show Four Horsemen.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's this?
My name's Josh.
How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Josh, where in Virginia are you?
That's amazing. I'm from Virginia. Uh-huh. I live in Portland, though.
Oh, okay. Then where are you from in Virginia?
I grew up in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Mac Rock Festival. I played a lot of shows in Harrisonburg. Well, I got your area code right here, but I do hear the accent as well. I do hear the accent.
So, you got a problem, Josh? Do you need a pep talk?
I can't complain too much, but I did see that was the topic. I don't know. I've been busy at work.
Okay.
What's your job?
And you need a pep talk about that?
I don't know if I need a pep talk. I kind of just saw the chance to call in.
Sure, I get that.
Like a minute after it was posted.
I get it. You just wanted to be a part of the fun experience, and you called the thing, and now you're on, and you're.
You just wanted to. You wanted to smell the horseman live.
You wanted to smell. Oh, okay.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, then you give us a pep talk then. Who here wants to? Anybody of the four of us want a pep talk from Josh?
Yeah, I need a pep talk.
There you go.
There you go, Mike.
I have to get motivated. I'm still trying to move out of Bayonne. And anytime I see that there's rain in the forecast, I use as an excuse not to go up to Bayonne. So, I need some motivation.
Bayonne's so bad in rain.
I've only got about a little more than a month left. I told my landlord I'm going to be out by the end of July. So,
well, ultimately, time will be your motivator.
Yeah, no, time is going to be a motivator, but I just need some push every day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess.
Give it to him, Josh.
You could take this as a pep talk, like if you get up there and get your stuff, you won't have to go back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm getting close. And that's what happened. I had a mover help me get some of the last of the big stuff I want to take. So that's out of there. So now it's a matter of me getting somebody to take the furniture I don't want. I've got a charity group that I guess picks up stuff, but I haven't called them. I haven't set up a date yet. So yeah, I just got to just get on this stuff.
Can you put some of the furniture out on the road in Bayonne? And then like a truck will speed up real fast and load it in the back of their truck and then speed off?
I think you can make an arrangement. I think you can tell them, call the city and tell them you have big stuff going out to the curb.
So that's a big thing in California, though. Like, Tom, I don't know if you've noticed this. It's just like people put out stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's all over Facebook. Like, I saw a couch over on Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just go and get it quickly. It's not like you have to prearrange it. They just drop it out on the out on the sidewalk.
What about this, Mike?
In Portland, anything you put on the sidewalk will be taken.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh no, we have a friend, friends of the best show. Craig goes around with his dog, Ms. Freddy, and they take pictures of the dog, like Instagram with the dog checking things out and on the streets. What about this, Mike?
Ms. Freddy.
Ms. Freddy, yeah.
I got Freddy and Ms. Freddy have to meet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Great dog. What if, Mike, you put the thing out and you put a sign on it that says, do not steal.
Yeah. No, I think, like, I think the putting stuff on the curb works up there. I know down here I made an arrangement for my garbage disposal, you know, to pick up large items. And I don't think they ever made it. I put it on the curb and people got to the stuff before the actual pickup came. So I guess you can scrap old TVs.
Old TVs are tricky. For that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people get those old TVs though, because they want the parts out of them. Like they may have another TV that I see a lot of TikToks with people watching movies on like vintage VHS and like an old TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so nostalgic every time I see that, that I'm like, oh, I kind of want one of those now.
Right.
I would love to have an old TV with a VCR, Mike, right here.
You know, Mike, what people do? Sorry,
Mike gets it. Mike understands. Mike, bring Jason your...
Yeah, could you just bring it out here?
Oh, I've got a clunky 28-inch screen. Remember how heavy those things are?
Yes. Somehow,
younger me got one of those down into the basement. I have a storage space in the basement that I'm clearing out as well. Mm-hmm. And I can't handle that now. You know, I mean, I got to get a young person to do that. I'm not going up those stairs with that television again.
Well, you're just going to walk up to a young person on the sidewalk and be like, young man.
Well, no, the guy who helped me move was a young guy. So.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
With the podcast.
Josh, were you saying something?
I
didn't say anything.
Oh, Pat, you were saying something. Sorry.
No, I it was a passing thought about old tube TVs. Mm.
Yeah. Well, we got another call. We can move on.
Josh, thanks for the call.
Thank you. I love you. Love what you guys do. Appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Buddy.
He started with "I love you," though. That was very nice.
That was very sweet. Pat, how are you doing, Pat?
Hello.
Doing good. Feeling good. We have a... caller? Are you there?
We do have a caller, but how
is
are
this
you?
Me?
I still want to know how you're doing.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, caller. We're taking a few seconds. I'm good. It's good to see the three of you.
It's wonderful to see the three.
Yes, exactly. I agree, Pat.
I think we're having same weather. Is it still dreary over there for you guys?
June gloom? Oh no, it is. It's blue skies right now. At least where I am.
Yeah. We traded.
Yeah. Yeah. I would take it back though. I love the June gloom.
Where are you calling from, caller?
Hey, this is Chuck from Western Massachusetts.
Okay, so you're having a dreary day as well.
Yeah, it is kind of dreary, I guess. Yeah, but it hasn't been super hot yet at all this summer. I still haven't put the AC units in the windows, which is insane.
That's wild. You're coming up on the 4th of July. You still didn't break out the air conditioner.
I haven't either.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't used mine yet.
Well, Josh,
I need a pep talk, guys, really bad. I've had a doozy of a week. Hopefully it's not too bad for the show. Well, first off, I've been in bed all week. I've got COVID. My first time I got COVID.
Oh, no.
Man.
So it's.
How bad is it? Are you getting a bad version of it?
It's pretty bad. I mean, thankfully, I haven't been in the hospital, but, you know, it's like just been in bed. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm just so exhausted.
Hit you hard.
Are you boosted and everything? Hard.
And, yeah, boosted. And I even got a Paxlovid subscription, which I don't know if it's done anything.
You have to subscribe to that. It's like Rolling Stone.
It does more than you think sometimes. Because here's the thing. I got over it quicker, and I think that was because of that. Awesome. And they say it helps prevent long COVID issues, so it's probably better to take. I don't know. From what I hear.
Do you know what else they say prevents? See, we're very informative here on the Four Horsemen as well. Preventing long COVID, metformin. So if you take metformin for like pre-diabetes or anything, it does keep long COVID away.
Wow.
Oh.
So shout out to my pre-diabetics out there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tom's just shaking his head.
Yeah. This is where this show has ended up now.
Yeah.
One of us is saying with a straight face, shout out to my pre-diabetics out there.
I want them to know they're not
the show
alone.
Clearly, No, I appreciate all the pre-diabetics out there. Wait, put your hands in the air.
Yeah, wave them like you just don't care, pre-diabetics.
So what do you need? What do you need? So you got COVID. What else is going on?
So I got
on?
COVID. Can't be pep talked out of that, but. But maybe you guys have been in this situation. This past weekend, I don't know a good way to say this, but a good old friend of mine made the choice to not be with us anymore.
I'm so sorry.
And it's, you know, we were very close as teenagers, you know, we didn't stay in touch lately, but, it's still, you know, it hit me and his family and all our old friends very hard. And,
I'm very sorry to hear about that.
You know, it's, thank you. You know, it's tough. It's hard not to be mad at him. That's something I didn't expect, you know.
I'm right there with you. I had one of my best friends, committed suicide in, 2015. And I had known her since, 1999. She was a big figure in the, Chapel Hill rock scene, and I still think about her every day, even since 2015, and I'm like, I'm still part of me is angry because she has two amazing kids. One is like in high school now and becoming so much like her mom was, that I'm just so angry that she missed it. But at the same time, like, I still miss her every day and wish that, you know, that I could just, you know, talk to her, go see a dumb rock show with her, and it gets better year by year and everything, but you're still, I think there's always going to be a little bit of that anger. Just be easy on yourself.
And I can add to that and just say, it's like your friend clearly was not seeing things the way that you wish they could have seen things. They were not, this was not a decision that was made with this is a decision that's filtered through a lot of mental health things. Yeah. And it's an unfortunate thing. This is not them being them.
Yeah.
In that. And you just, they were sick, and you can't, I know it makes perfect sense to be mad because it's such an unfortunate and seemingly correctable situation. Mm-hmm. But they did not do this to hurt you. They were just in pain, and this is the unfortunate way they dealt with the pain.
Yeah. I keep trying to tell myself that.
Well,
but it's good to hear.
Yeah, and just try to, it sounds corny, but it's just like, as long as we're here, we have to do things with our lives and make the best we can out of the lives we've been given, and you can honor your friend through that.
I met my friend at a Sloan show on the Navy Blues Tour in 99, and now whenever I see Sloan, it's almost like celebrating her. And, re-experiencing that and remembering the really great stuff. So I'm sure there's something like that that you can find that when it hits for you that, it'll feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Well, you hang in there, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good show.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
And now we're at zero callers.
Okay.
So I'm going
to
tweet out again. Maybe we can get Chris Slade on.
Maybe we'll get Chris Slade on if he's hearing us talk about this on a closed feed.
Would you interview Chris Slade?
No, I would never. It's one of my hard and fast rules.
If Chris Slade ever
calls in, there will be no interview. No, of course I talked to him. No,
well,
you just
talked to Brian Johnston, though.
Yeah, I don't want to go get Brian. I'm not going to go get Chris Slade.
Right, you're saying go through all the hassle.
Brian Johnson calls, I'll treat him like any other caller. Just happens to be the guy from AC/DC. Yeah, this might not go long. This might be a short call.
I'm going to hang up. Oh, it looks like we have Chalky.
Oh, Mike. Who is somebody you would always love to hear be on the show, even if it would make me uncomfortable? Like, because we've had Kevin Smith in the past. We had David Crosby was an uncomfortable moment. Andrew Dice Clay, the aforementioned Andrew Dice Clay was one of the stranger moments. Mm. Is there anybody you could think of just like, oh man, I wish... That would make Tom crawl out of his skin.
We were just talking about Jesse Camp.
We went down that road already.
revisit,
we will not be going
an encore,
down that road again.
Encore performance.
An encore presentation. Wow. Congrats, you did hit the bullseye with that one. That would truly, that would be, I could not do that twice.
I think another one where like I'd be like, hey, Tom, I'm hitting the Zoom right or call in studio right now on the line. Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, it would be a rough one. I've talked to him in the past, but I could navigate it, but not something I'm running toward.
Right.
Not one I'm like, bring it on. Nah. Pat, anybody you'd like to hear to make my skin crawl?
No one I'd like to hear that would make your skin crawl. I'm trying to think of people that would, that you might not know would, who, like Jesse was one that, I mean, I wasn't really part of that, those meetings as much when that was, like, I was letting...
Oh, are you saying you would have said no?
I would have said no because I was there.
Really?
Because I was there the night that he at the special that he like took it over and it didn't go well. And I've been a producer here for years. And I would have said, guys, no, like,
yeah,
unless the point of that show is to, for it to be derailed,
to like blow it up.
But like, I let Davis drive that one. And I thought, you know, he has a vision for this episode, which I don't understand.
So funny.
But, and when it was like abandoned ship moment, I was like, in Jersey or Brooklyn, wherever it was, I was just like, well, you know, what do I do here? I'm on the receiving, like I'm on the, you know, I'm on the Princess Leia C-3PO side where they're like listening to on the comms, like, and they're like looking at each other, like, I don't know what to do.
I don't know.
Yeah, like it just felt insane. Like I didn't know what.
Texting me pretty frantically.
I was like, is Tom in his car? Did he leave? I'm like
what? Can you find Tom? You need to find Tom.
Yeah.
I look, even the rough ones, I love them. I love the rough ones.
Yeah.
I love them. And I loved having him on the show. And I love Davis put together an amazing MTV reunion.
Oh, yeah. God, the reunion was amazing.
It was amazing. And it was one something I love the weird moments. I really do. Maybe I shouldn't be inviting in now. I am now clearly giving a green light. Oh, he loves them. It's like I did, and I appreciate your panic with it, but I was just like, no, this is, even in that moment I was like, yeah, this is something.
Well, Tom, I'm glad you said that, because on the Zoom coming in right now, Pete Holmes.
Bring it on. I'll talk to him. Talk to anybody.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, there is definitely. Having Kevin Smith back would be funny.
I think it would be better now, though. I think it would be a very sweet interview now. We share a heart doctor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It would be honest. But, yeah, I mean, there's like, I don't know. There's political people that I feel like wouldn't do well.
Yeah. Political stuff on any side of things is hard. Like, yeah. Like if Chuck Schumer called in, I would just be like, this is the worst day of my life.
Right.
Hey, Tom. Like, yeah.
Do we have somebody on the line?
I think we have Chalky on the line.
Hello.
Well, he was on the line. Let's try this one. Looks like he's gone.
Hello. I'm here. Hi.
Is this Chalky?
It is.
How are you?
Good. I have some legendary a-holes. I think you guys should lean into booking these types of people.
Okay.
It's always good, you know?
I think that's the topic, Chalky. I think the topic is legendary a-holes.
Well, we've lost a lot of our great ones, so you got to get them while they're still alive. People like Mike Love, Chevy Chase. Oh, I would say Michael Jordan would be really
Mike
good.
Mike Love would be the all-time greatest.
I could get Mike Love in a heartbeat.
Well, then go get him.
Okay. I'm going to get him. That is my
I hope you get him while his heart's beating.
The getting's good.
I would love to talk to him.
Okay.
I think Greg Ginn would be really good, you know?
Greg Ginn would be amazing. Well, and he would never do it. The guy doesn't, because the guy knows he's going to get... He knows the possibility of him getting drilled by somebody like, why aren't you paying the people? Like,
I don't know. Did you see the Nardwar interview with him? He's kind of a lunkhead nowadays. Something happened to him.
Wait, I didn't even know he agreed to a Nardwar interview. That's crazy.
Oh, you got to watch the Nardwar interview with him. It's incredible. Jello Biafra is also a jerk. He would be great, you know.
See, the only way we're going to get someone like Ginn is if we realize, like, he has some sort of other thing that he wants to promote that nobody ever acknowledges. Like, if he was a guy like Albini, who's a competitive poker player, he's like, no, we only want to talk to you about the poker. Or, like, you know, or who's that guy that, I remember he went on FMU years ago only to play his phonographs. He had, like, a bunch of antique phonographs, but he's R. Crumb. R. Crumb went on FMU with the sheer stipulation that he would not talk about his comic strips or anything.
Sure.
It was just like, if you, I feel like Ginn would be like that. If he had some weird, like, you know, he's really into mini golf. He plays it competitively. Like, no, we just want to talk about the mini golf. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then, bait and switch where you just creatively.
Like the Billy Bob Thornton interview on Canadian broadcasting when he just like, I'm not here to talk about being an actor. Right. I'm a member of the Boxmasters today.
Yeah.
And then when they were like, well, you know, you bring things to the table because you do acting. It's like,
yeah,
what? I don't do like, it's like, okay, we get it. Like, no. You have to acknowledge you are an actor. It's like, nobody's just like, oh my God, the guy from the Boxmasters is Sling Blade. Like, look, nobody, like everybody knows that's the deal.
I just like, love the Boxmasters.
Wait, like, which one's the actor?
Listen, we could probably book Zopa to play the show. But like, it'd be a lot harder to book Michael Imperioli. You know what I mean?
I would love Michael Imperioli on the show or Zopa on the show. Yeah. I think I'll say this. Maybe this is a sign of me getting older, but the idea of like making fun of Michael Imperioli just because he's doing other things, I'm just like, I don't get the charge out of any of that stuff like I used to get a charge out. Just like, oh my God, look at this guy doing a different thing than the thing he started off doing. That means it's funny.
Right.
Like,
also, he's like giving younger bands a chance to open for him. He's like being really generous and nice about it. You know what I mean?
He seems like a sweet.
He's lifting people up. He's lifting people up.
He wrote a novel. He wrote a novel. And he co-wrote a Spike Lee movie.
Oh.
Michael Imperioli, he's a pretty established talent in terms of doing a lot of different things. I can't, just because he played a meathead doesn't mean he's a meathead. Look, other people on The Sopranos, of course they're meatheads.
Total meathead.
Some of these people. You think I'm going to want to go watch Bobby Bacala's band? No, I don't want to go watch him.
I get a lot of Bobby Bacala TikToks too.
No, I'm just saying if he did have a band, like, I don't see him. Think I want to go like, see Johnny Cakes play live in concert?
Wasn't keeping up.
Johnny Cakes,
Artie's band.
Yeah, I don't want the Artie Bucco experience.
Live from Vesuvio.
But I give Michael Imperioli a lot of credit. He co-wrote Summer of Sam, with his, I believe he has a writing partner in Spike Lee. So
he's familiar with The Best Show, though, isn't he? Someone told me that Michael Imperioli likes The Best Show.
Well, I DM'd him, or he followed us, and I think I just wrote a quick like, "Hey, thanks for the follow. You know, appreciate what you do," or something. And he wrote back like, "Love the show, big fan."
Well, there you go.
And then I sent like a soft pitch, like, if you're in the LA area, you know, we're live Tuesdays. We'd love to have you and or Zopa on or something. And
Hit him up again because, you know, he's got that great podcast and that he could plug at any time. It'd be great to have him on.
Yeah. So I mentioned.
I'll do Mike Love. You go for Michael Imperioli.
Yeah.
Slash Zopa.
Yeah. Chalky.
Yeah.
I have three more. Oh, no, let's hear what you got. We'll hear the three more.
Three more dream guests that are legendary a-holes, I think, would be great. Van Morrison, Wayne Coyne, and add one more. I said Jeremy Piven would be a really good interview. Yeah, I need a pep talk.
Jeremy Piven
would be.
I would love it.
Yeah, I would be into that one, actually.
Yeah, because he could come and talk
Van Morrison, Tom? Get Van Morrison on the show.
I would, if Jeremy Piven was on the show, the first thing I would ask him would be about playing George Costanza in the Seinfeld when he was cast to play George in the movie in Seinfeld.
Oh, in the pilot.
In the pilot, the NBC pilot.
In the NBC pilot from like season 4 of Seinfeld and just like, and John Worster and I recorded an episode of S&W Q&A, which will come out very soon. And we talked about, we were trying to remember what it was that the guy who played Kramer stole that made the real George go up to him and go, look, I know you might have taken the thing. Like,
it's blueberries, wasn't it?
No, it was not blueberries.
Oh.
It was food, though, I think.
It was food. It's we talk about it on that episode, so we reveal what it is, but it was so funny to like, yeah, that moment was great. And then Jeremy Piven played George.
Right.
That's amazing.
So, Chalky, that's an amazing list.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I feel lucky I get to talk to you guys today.
I also like when we talk on these Four Horsemen, we do generate a lot of topic ideas.
Yeah.
I do think Best Show Dream Guests is a hell of an idea for a show for people to call in and just throw the most random ass names at us, and we can see if there's any that really truly hit for you, and we'll chase them.
Here, I think that's fantastic. I love that. We can take the ideas from wherever they come. A great idea is a great idea. Here's an idea I had for a topic. If we put it out to the listeners to say, come up with a celebrity and then say what the name of their playlist would be.
Right.
And then we have to identify, we have to build the playlist. If it was somebody, it's like, okay, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan romantic playlist. And then you have to think of the songs that Hulk Hogan would think belong on a romantic playlist.
Lady in Red, for sure.
Exactly. Put Lady in Red on that,
like,
brother.
What music were they listening to? What music were they listening to in the submarine? Like, you could even extend it to current events, things like that.
Yeah, we could talk about exactly. We could build playlists for moments, for people. I think that would be, I want to do that one very soon.
We got to do
that.
Sounds good.
That's a beautiful one.
Yeah, brother.
Because we used to do Celebrity iPod, and we were talking about how to update it. And
but throwing it to the listeners as like having to do it in real time would be amazing.
Glory of Love would be on there.
Yeah. Gotta put Glory of Love on that playlist, brother. What else? We got We're an American Band. Like, what? Okay. That's romantic. Hotel California.
Mississippi Queen.
Yeah. Like, he just keeps naming mountain songs.
Yeah.
Chalky, can you name another mountain song that's not Nantucket Slam?
Theme from an Imaginary Western? Is that
there
one?
There you go. Yes.
Huh. Boom.
Chalky, yeah.
Very good.
Felix Popolardi.
Felix Popolardi, Leslie West, and...
And who's the other guy?
Well, because there was the group West, Bruce, and Lang, which was... Jack Bruce and Corky.
That record's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that right now we have basically decided to exclude everyone from enjoying this show with this current conversation. No one is enjoying
West
this.
Leslie West's last song before he passed away was with Beetlejuice, the Howard Stern Whackpacker.
Yeah, that's a great way to go out.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chalky.
Are you hanging up, Chalky? Is he gone?
Yeah, I think he hung up.
Okay.
Chalky's always a great call. Chalky's just the best.
He really is a good guy, Chalky. So, any other calls?
No calls right now.
No other calls.
But man, we've had a show so far. We talk about pre-diabetics.
Yeah, it really has been one
Leslie
for the ages.
West, who may have been pre-diabetic. I think he was diabetic, actually.
I'm going to say he was a good candidate for...
Good candidate for...
He had health problems. The front man for the band Mountain.
Okay.
Remember...
Mississippi Queen!
Mississippi Queen.
Does it bother you when he says Mississippi Queen, you know what I mean? Because I'm not sure I know what he means.
That does bother me, actually, now that you pointed it out. And sometimes there are those lyrics, like, I know everybody gets bothered in Piano Man when he says making love to his tonic and gin, for example. Like, nobody's ever called it a tonic and gin right. in history. First of all, he's making love to a drink.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Even if he said making love to his gin and tonic, I don't like where this is going.
Screwing but, his gin and tonic.
But to justify the rhyme tonic and gin?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a stretch. I think the only mountain I ever had was from the Woodstock soundtrack. They're sure. on there, right?
I believe yeah. so, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Another but I've never analyzed the lyrics to Mississippi Queen. Was she a lady of the evening? Is that what he means?
That might be what he means.
Most songs
just, you know, like I mean? A beautiful woman from the South.
Okay.
Most songs were about that at that point. Like these guys just writing their songs about ladies of the evening. And,
yeah.
You know, there's another lyric that bothers me like that is the song Daydream Believer when he goes, me shaving razor's cold and it stinks. Your shaving razor? what other razors do you have?
He has so many just piled out in front of him on like a Sweeney microfiber. Todd,
your killing razor?
Yeah.
Your slashing razor? Me shaving razor's cold and it stings. Like, also I'm overlooking the me part of that. Me shaving,
me razor. Shaving razor.
Yeah, but it's shaving razor.
Another classic rock lyric that's always bothered me. It just makes me feel, you know, douche chills pretty quickly. Is the line from Boston signing record company contracts? You know, we've got great expectations.
That's what song is that?
Rock and roll band. Like signing record company contracts. You know we got great expectations. It's like, oh God.
I gotta say, I know you love Boston, Jason.
Oh, I love Boston. I do.
I gotta say, on a scale of 1 to 10, everybody rate the band Boston now.
They're not a 10 for me.
Okay. I'll go first or I'll go last, whatever anybody wants.
Go
Pat,
first.
Do you
go
have
first.
A rating for the band Boston on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'll give them a 4 or 5.
A 4 or 5, Mike?
Yeah, 3 or 4, you know, more than a feeling, you know, now that I have distance from that song.
Yeah.
You know, I was the right age when that album came out and. Yeah, my friend played it to death, so it's one of those records that just I can barely listen to now. But
I would put Kansas above Boston.
No,
I
same error. Yeah,
I mean, I would put Kansas above Boston just for Carry On My Wayward
Son.
Yeah.
But that first Boston at record was all bangers.
What's another song off that?
Come on, hit your ride. Run for the other side.
What's another one?
Let me see. Smoking. You don't know that one?
I would say this.
Wait, Boston, did you just read them too?
Yes, two.
Boston's.
And I might go lower if you keep singing these songs.
I'll read their.
I'll take you home tonight.
I'll rate Boston's album covers at a 6.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give Boston a 6. I think they're better than a 5. But, I mean, they're
better.
Not like...
they're one better, according to your five. Rankings.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with a 4.
But they're not, like, higher than that for me, I don't think.
I'm sticking with 2. Like
1.
3. No, they're just, like, they, to me, are the definition of just, like, a certain brand of bloat. Of like classic rock bloat, where it's like, good luck picking any of these guys out if they walk by you on the street.
Oh, I could never. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Tom, you have a great line about how when they play, like bands who play festivals that have to wear the wristband versus
That's,
people who don't. That I love
was,
that.
That was definitely that. Boston. Yeah. I'm in Boston. Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I could even recognize Tom Scholz on the street.
No, he's just a long hair, a guy with long hair, a guitarist with long hair.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. Sorry, go ahead.
No, no, you go.
Ian Hunter was walking down Newark Avenue one time. I guess Todd Abramson like was arranged something where they could rehearse for their run of Mott shows that they did at the Beacon a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he arranged, like, SIR didn't work out for them, so at the last minute he got a call and they did their stage show rehearsals at White Eagle Hall.
Wait, like, you're saying Mott the Hoople did their stage rehearsals at White Eagle Hall.
And if I had just given a heads up, I would have taken a very long lunch break to go see that, because but here's what I did see. I was on a shoot. I was working in Jersey City, doing boring day job stuff, and coming down Newark Avenue Hill with my coworkers in a Jeep, and I went like this. I went, what the hell? And I like, that's someone who you see, you know exactly who it is. And I was like, I'm like, that's Ian Hunter. And no one knew what I was talking about, but I was like, you know, are you kidding me? Like, they were like crossing that street by Healy's Tavern, like to go the direction of White Eagle Hall. And I was like, and then later Todd said that they had lunch there or something and they loved Healy's Tavern. They got like burgers or something.
Well, he lives in Connecticut.
It was cool. I was just
amazing.
That was a head turner for me. I was like, holy shit.
That's someone I've been working on to get on the best show.
I love. I saw him live. I saw him live probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
At Stone Pony.
Oh, that's
cool. Oh, man.
It was not good.
Oh. Great. Oh,
he was good. He was so surprised. His voice was excellent. Yeah. He played new songs that were legitimately
that's
great.
My favorite thing, like, that's like such a nice surprise when like you kind of go in expecting nothing and you hear the new stuff and it's really good.
Was that off the, was he touring Strut at that time?
I'm not sure, probably, because Strut's touring.
Damn good. Strut is so good.
Was it
on,
like,
the outdoor stage?
It was inside.
Oh, wow. That's even better. Cool. Wow.
I wanted to go to that Beacon show. I did too. But I really wish I saw that rehearsal, because that would have been cool. Mm-hmm.
Ian Hunter also wrote one of the first rock memoirs that is from the early 70s, just about what it's like being in Mott the Hoople. Kind of a surprising look at just life in a band at that size of band. And yeah, Mott the Hoople were one of those groups that they were so influential in a certain way, where they were like the band, the people's band, like kids. Mm-hmm. They would hang out with the people, the kids in the parking lot. The Clash followed them around as kids. Like, Mick Jones hung out with the guys in Mott the Hoople when he was a teenager. They made that impression on a lot of people from the next wave of music, of how to be like fan friendly and do it for the fans,
like,
to not just act
fans.
Like rock stars. They were exactly. They were like, and he was older when Mott the Hoople was his last shot at music. He was in his early 30s when he started in Mott the Hoople, which was way older than anybody else was in rock at that point to be new. And he's
84 now.
Wow.
But yeah, he started off relatively late in the scheme of things, and Mott the Hoople was going to be his last stand with trying to be a rock star or a musician.
I don't think, and we would have
it popped. You know what song they were offered? Because, you know, Bowie wrote All the Young Dudes.
All the Young Dudes. Yeah.
But you know what song? That was the second song he gave them. Suffragette City was the first one he offered. And
I was wondering if it was going to be that.
It was Suffragette City, and they rejected it, saying it just sounds like one of your songs. Like, this is, it would sound like us just doing a David Bowie song. Thanks, but no thanks. And Bowie was like, I want to write you guys a hit because you're my favorite band and you're on the verge of breaking up. I'm doing this to keep my favorite band around.
Yeah. And produce that All the Young Dudes record, which is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Queen wouldn't have been Queen without Mott the Hoople, because their first U.S. tour was with Mott. Mm-hmm. The first time they played New York, they played the theater that Wicked is in right now. It was once called the Iris Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Mott showed them how to be on the road, how to do a live show. Mm-hmm. And, it all went up from there.
Yeah. Do you like Ian Hunter, Mott, Mike?
Yeah. I wish I knew about that Stone Pony show. I would have definitely went to that. But I saw him, not with Mott the Hoople, but it was a pretty big solo record. You're Never Alone with a Schizophrenic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Huge.
So he played Convention Hall in Asbury Park. I went to see that show. Good show. Yeah, he's just got one of those great voices, you know, I mean. One of my favorite singing voices.
Yeah.
We should do a list at some point. The Sunglasses Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great one.
Good theme.
I'm writing that
I think we could narrow that to 25.
We should do the top 25 sunglass, like the Sunglass Wearers Hall of Fame would be the greatest. That would be such a fun one to do. Let's do that.
Could be indoor sunglasses.
Is the rule you never see them without the sunglasses?
I don't know if it's that you never. I think it should be. Maybe it should be kind of like, because then you have Jeff Lynne, of course, would be in the sunglass hole. Roy Orbison would probably be number one, but we don't know. We have to do the list.
Ray Charles.
Like, look, it's a great
wonder.
Stevie Wonder,
but
Ronnie Millsap,
Joe Biden,
right?
Poochie,
Ronnie Millsap,
from the fictional dog from The Simpsons, Poochie.
This one,
that's a good. I honestly think we could probably do top 50 on this. Uh-huh. I think there are 50 people.
Well, I think if we started at 25, if we just get so many suggestions, it becomes the top 50 or the top 30.
It's the first top 25 we've ever done that expands.
And then we keep opening brackets like tiers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it'd be funny if the final count was like top 38 or something.
Yeah, we at least got there.
Yeah. The top 38, I think we go for 50 on this one. Because it's also movie stars also, just like...
And characters.
And
like
character,
that David Caruso character that always does the sunglasses. Or Risky Business.
CSI Miami. Yeah.
Yeah.
Top 50 sunglass wearers. License to Drive. Corey Haim doing the shade tipping.
Yes.
All the characters from They Live.
Well, yeah, Pat, you're in the tank for the They Live.
Yeah.
For getting that on the charts.
I think you just put cast of They Live.
Yeah. No, that's a fun. That'll be a fun one. We'll do that in July.
Yeah.
No calls?
No calls. But we did get four really great topic ideas today.
We did, though. This is very
tremendous.
I'm adding it to the.
I've
top
got
of
them
that
on
list.
The topic dump right now, and I'm going to send them out to the group.
No, this is great.
Yeah. No, this was this was a lot of fun. We're at 57 minutes, guys.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up. Let's do a good hour, a solid hour.
Yeah.
Here and then we'll do this very soon. We do this regularly, and it's a lot of fun, and they're nice supplements to the Tuesday night show, and it's just it's a lot of fun hanging out with you guys in a different vibe, and I always have a good time doing it. So
I will say at the end of each episode, though, Tom, real quickly, I kind of feel like, oh, I got to tell you the next records to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's a Rubenesque. Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, guys, make sure you listen to Return of the Bumpasaurus.
Oh, great. So, Mike, you have Egg Foo What, of course. People should check out Egg Foo What, Mike's podcast. the Chinese food review show he does with Greg Richards. Wilson. Greg Wilson.
Greg Wilson.
I swear, I that was me not being funny this time. Yeah, I actually said the wrong name, okay. Not on purpose. Greg Wilson and Mike do a show called Egg Foo What, which is great. Jason does the Hawk, 108.9, the Hawk with his friend Jeff Gorlock.
Garlock. Yeah, we usually say Gorglin, so I was thinking that's what it would
Gorglin.
Be.
Gorglin. No, Jeff Garlock and Jason Gore. 108.9 The Hawk, and they've built a whole world, and they've got a Patreon, and it's worth checking out.
And we have some huge guests on right now, too.
Yeah.
Gil Ozeri is coming on from Big Mouth. Very Ashley funny. Nicole Black from Black Lady Sketch Show and Ted Lasso is coming on whenever this comes out. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so check that out. Pat, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'll be at Corgi Comedy Club, which is in Jersey City. They do it monthly. That's next Friday, the 30th, for anyone in New York, New Jersey wants to check out.
So Friday, June 30th.
That's right.
You can see Corgi? Pat.
A week from today. Well, we're recording this on the 23rd. So
we're recording on the 23rd, yeah. And maybe
if this comes out prior to then you could see that.
I think it might.
Yeah, let's put this out on Sunday if we can.
This Sunday?
You want this to be the next thing? Why not? That way we can just get Pat's plug in there. It makes sense. Yeah. And yeah.
Cool. Great.
No, this is a fun one. And thanks everybody for checking it out and making the time. And we'll keep doing stuff on the Patreon to keep you to say thanks and having a good time. Okay. We can say goodbye.
Sweet.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye
everybody.